test your ages and your musical ages and musical knowledge here. Anyone know which group had an album called Crisis, What Crisis? So I've got a hand up here. One hand, and that's my wife. What, am I the only person that ever bought this album, or what? Now, I'll give you a clue then, just in case you're wondering, oh, can I remember it? It was released in 1975. Oh, Martin, can you not even remember? Okay. No, it wasn't. It was Supertramp. Supertramp. Crisis, What Crisis? I just remembered the title of that album. I wonder why at the moment. Crisis, What Crisis? At the present time, it seems we're losing count of the number of crises we find ourselves facing and the impact they're having. War in Europe, cost of living, political, climate, we could probably go on. But what I'm going to talk about, hopefully for a relatively short period this morning, is a crisis which isn't on that list, but which affects how each one of us respond to each of those things, and indeed how we respond to everything else we'll ever face in life. That's a big claim, so let's get on with it. Now, the following section I'm going to read is from a reputable NHS-linked health website. It starts like this. Have you ever seriously questioned who you are? Or have you maybe ever seriously asked what your purpose is? Or have you ever seriously asked yourself what your values are? Yeah, this is from a health website. If these questions remain unresolved, you may be caught up in an identity crisis, is what it says, which in turn can result in a number of other difficulties, both mentally and physically. An identity crisis. This crisis can affect individuals, including Christians. It can affect or afflict organizations, including churches. And it is serious. And we're witnessing loads of challenges in this particular time on the notions or the ideas of what identity even is. People seem to be getting incredibly confused about who they are and how they describe who they are. And this is having an impact on people, it's having an impact on organisations, and it's having an impact on politics. Now this next section, we've finished the website bit, this next section is bits of a conversation that actually happened, and we will link back to what I've just said later. At West Auckland Vineyard Church, we do not, this, I was talking to somebody and they asked me questions and I said this. At West Auckland Vineyard Church, we don't have a mission statement. And this person said, what? You don't have a mission statement? Nope. How can a church not have a mission? I didn't say that. I said we didn't have a mission statement. Why? Well, I just know from my experience, basically those things are a corporate import. That's what they are. They're an import from the corporate world by people who generally don't understand how organisations work, don't understand how people work, and certainly don't understand how God works. A waste of time, a waste of paper, and a waste of breath, as far as I can see. What happens normally to these mission statements is they'll get written up, either really with a pen or electronically, and they'll sit on a bookshelf, or they'll sit in a Google Drive folder, and that's pretty much it. They'll never see the light of day again. Most people won't remember them, and hardly anyone will try to do them. So why have them? So we haven't got one. Anyway, this person was just horrified. And I said, to preempt the discussion, and while we're on the subject, before you ask, we don't have a vision statement either. They're equally ridiculous. Abject look of horror on this person's face. You don't have a vision statement. No, not really. Another totally counterproductive waste of time and energy. But let me get a little bit more positive and tell you what we do have. We do have vision, and that's different. We have a really expansive, broad vision. We have a vision of a God who loves us so much that he chose to come and live among us. He chose to tell us about this love. He chose to show us about this love. He chose to demonstrate what this love looked like and what it felt like to be on the end of that love. And he showed us in really practical ways. And he still does it today through his Holy Spirit. All the time. Anytime. Everywhere. And yes, there's more. We are told that if we can just, as it were, keep in step or follow the leadings of Jesus through his Holy Spirit, then we will get lots of visions about lots of things as we meet people, as we understand their needs, as we begin to discern areas where ministry and work is needed. It's dynamic. So yes, we get visions. Yes, we have vision. But writing it in a statement, what's the point? But let's leave those vision statements and things aside. More importantly, I said, we do have, and we have written this down in about 7 words, so it didn't need many pages. We do have a statement of purpose. Response, what on earth is a statement of purpose? I'd have thought it was fairly obvious personally, but anyway. Well, I said, Jesus had one, so I thought as his people and his church, we should probably have one as well. So we have. In Luke 4:43, it says this, Jesus told them, I must proclaim the good news or the gospel of the kingdom. This is why I was sent. Now that sounds like the beginnings of a statement of purpose to me. What's our purpose? Why have I been sent? What am I to do? Jesus said, this is why I was sent, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. And as we read the 4 books of the Bible that are full of eyewitness accounts and stories about Jesus, we call them the Gospels, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see this is exactly what Jesus did. He proclaimed, he told people stuff. He told people about the good news of who he was, of who God is, of what God has for us. He told people the good news of the kingdom. And then he went out and did 2 other things immediately. He called people to follow him. In other words, he began to create community. Follow me, he said. And you know what? Amazingly, people just, yeah, all right. And they followed him. Jesus certainly had something about him. They followed him. And then he began to demonstrate the kingdom. He began to put into practice the things he'd been telling them. So we have the proclamation of the kingdom, telling people the good news. We have this creating of a community of people around the good news. And then we have Jesus and other people starting to demonstrate, put into practice the good news. Jesus knew exactly who he was. He had no identity problems at all. Jesus knew exactly what his purpose was, to proclaim and demonstrate the good news of the kingdom. And he certainly did make a statement about his purpose. Now we can read this statement in Luke 4:16-21, which in turn is taken from a prophetic word back in Isaiah chapter 6. This is what we read. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. Can't imagine what it must have been like in that synagogue after he said that. I bet you could have, well, before the screaming and threats started, I would imagine you could have heard a pin drop. He took the words of a prophet, Isaiah, words which the people knew so well, and he said, "That's me." How would we have responded? That's me that Isaiah wrote about. That's my purpose. That's my mission. So it seems fairly obvious to me from that, if that's Jesus' purpose, and we are clearly told in the Bible that part of what happens to us when we become Christians is we start to become more and more like Jesus, it has to be our purpose as well. Because we're becoming more like Jesus, and that was his purpose. That we were to become part of this new community that centered around and focused on this good news. And we are to become like him. In other words, our hearts and lives are being transformed. And we are then to do the same as him, which is proclaim and demonstrate the good news. Now, we can have, and many churches do, we can have, many organizations do, our nice, neat mission statements, even impressive sounding vision statements. But if we are not crystal clear about our purpose, about who calls us, who authorizes us, who empowers us, and who models it for us, then the rest, quite frankly, is just tinsels and baubles disguising a tree with no root and no fruit. And this can be as true for the church as it is for individuals. Now, there's a quote that's used on the Alpha course. We just used it, I think, 2 weeks ago. And this is the quote. "The two most important days in a person's life are the day they are born and the day they find out why." Now, it sounds great and it is important, but it's not right. That's the problem. You see, the second most important day isn't the day we find out why. It's the day we find out who we are. The why follows the who. The second most important is the day we find out who we are. And because people haven't made that a priority, we have the situation we find now where people are saying all the time, "I don't know who I am, I've got an identity crisis, I don't even know how to describe myself." We've got all of this stuff going on. Here is, I think, the $64 million questions. There's two of them. I guess that's $128 million then. Who are you? Who are we? That's an identity question. And it's at the heart of the identity crisis we face that people more and more seemingly can't answer that question or don't know where to look for the answer to that question. Now remember, purpose flows from identity. It's not the other way around. You have so many people who, if you ask the question, "Who are you?" they'll start and tell us what sort of job they have, or all these other things. They are not our identity. Even our purpose is not our identity. Everything else flows from who we are, which is why it's so important to know who we are and to be able to put into words clearly who we are. So I thought, let's put this whole thing about our identity to bed once and for all, because it's not difficult. Although the world is doing its utmost to confuse the issue. It also appears that an increasing number of us as Christians are making this quite difficult as well, as we confuse who we are with what we do. And we mustn't do that. So the first, who we are. This is primary. It is unchanging. The other, what we are, is secondary. And that can change many times, and ultimately it will fade away. Many people seem to become convinced that they don't really know who they are, and they say they have no sense of identity. And as a consequence, we're getting a longer and longer list of things behind people's names. If you're on Twitter, you'll see these, personal pronouns and other stuff, trying to describe who they are and how they want to be known. Trying to pin this down. Male, female, white, not white, his, her, it, binary, non-binary, American, British, professional, Tory, Labour, Marxist, apolitical, married, single. It goes on and on and on. after the names. And with each new addition to that list, they get further from the truth, not closer to it. Now, I'm not saying any of those things are not relevant. They are relevant. They're just not about our identity. These things are about what we are, not who we are. Certainly, that's how Christians view this. That's how the Bible teaches this. And if we are not sure about our identity, we will be certainly mistaken about our purpose in life. So let's read what Scripture says about this. And it's totally radical at every level. It's from Galatians chapter 3. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And this is the bit. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Those barriers or those descriptions that many people used then and use now to try and describe who they are, in Christ they are secondary. They are not who we are. As a Christian, those who are Christians, those who have made that decision to follow Jesus, given their lives to him. As a Christian, if you want to put words after your name, then be really radical, be really bold. Put this, Adrian, child of God. That's who I am. Adrian, follower of Jesus. That's who I am. Any qualifiers after that are just avoiding the issue. They're hiding the truth. The qualifiers come further down the line if we wish them to. Child of God. That's our identity. Everything else flows from that. A follower of Jesus. That's who I am. That's not what I do. That's who I am. A son of God. A daughter of God. Part of the family of God. These are the things that create our identity as Christians.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me, yes he died for me. The sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. There's a place for me. I'm a child. house. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Easier to remember something if you've got a tune to it. In my Father's house. We're a child of God. We are who He says we are. That's who defines our identity. So, who are you? If I'd asked you that question before the service, what would you have answered? Who are you? What is your identity? Would you have said, would I have said, until I read somebody else who said it, child of God. As soon as I read that, I thought, that's absolutely I mean, I knew I was. It's just that answering the identity question with that answer is crucial. Child of God. Everything else flows from that. Because Jesus tells us what people of God look like, what the character can become. We just see how Jesus reacts to things, so we react. How He shows love, so we show love. Why? Because we're a child of God. There's more. Children to God, children of God together, we are church. Not a church, not the church, we are church. Because church is the family of God. So where His children meet together, worship together, work together, serve together, there is no other answer. Our identity as individuals, child of God. This gathering, church, family of God. And our purposes as individuals and as church are inextricably linked. So what is your purpose and my purpose as a child of God? Dead simple, we can overcomplicate this. 1 John 2 verse 6. Whoever claims to live in Him, that's Jesus, or be a follower of Jesus, must live as Jesus did. What does that mean? Be like Jesus. Whoever claims to be a Christian needs to be like Jesus was. Do as Jesus did. That's our purpose. To model Jesus, says we're as ambassadors in the world. That is our purpose. It's not complicated. And we can read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. We can see how Jesus lived. We think, that's how He wants us to live. Not complicated. To become more like Jesus in character, thought, word and action. That is our purpose. And it flows from our identity, who we are, children of God. There's at least 25 or 30 other scriptures that mention this, but that's your homework. I'm not going to read them out now. Here's one other though. We all with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into the same image. To be like God, to be like Him. Changed from glory into glory, it says. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's our purpose to become more like Jesus. To live, act, think and speak more like Jesus. It's dynamic and it's responsive to where we are. Because we're in a situation, I know people laugh at that. I don't wear a bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? But it's exactly the right question. We're in a circumstance, we're in a situation or something just surprises us. Well, I'm a child of God. I'm being made more like Jesus. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus react? That's a great question to ask. Or as Andy Stanley, one of my top 10 Bible teachers, says, what does love require of me? What a question. In any circumstance we face, what does love require of me in this particular circumstance? That's the sort of way children of God respond and react, because that flows from who they are. That flows from their identity. And we are called, where appropriate, where possible, to tell people the good news in ways they can understand, in ways that are relevant, to proclaim the good news. So let's ensure we understand the good news.
There is so much bad news in the world right now. But no matter what, we have good news, and that good news has a name, and that name is Jesus Christ.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our rescuer, he's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore.
Come to the foot of the cross, be changed, and find out who we are, children of God. Walk away from the cross a changed person and find out why we're here, find our purpose and what we're to do. And that's why I'm clear about our identity as Christians here at West Ark and Vineyard Church, and I'm clear about our purpose as Christians to be and become more and more like Jesus in how we think, speak, act and live. And I'm clear as to what our purpose is as a church is. Our purpose is to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of God in the communities to which he calls us. It's not complicated. It's simple. So let's do it.